Good morning, church. Good to see you all here worshiping God. I'm going to read from Isaiah today, a word from our Lord. Stand if you're able. Isaiah 32, 1-6. See, a king will reign in righteousness, and rulers will rule with justice. Each one will be like a shelter from the wind and a refuge from the storm, like streams of water in the desert and the shadow of a great rock and a thirsty land. Then the eyes of those who see will no longer be closed, and of the ears, and the ears of those who hear will listen. The fearful heart will know and understand, and the stammering tongue will be fluent and clear. No longer will the fool be called noble, nor the scoundrel be highly respected. For fools speak folly, their hearts are bent on evil. They practice ungodliness, and spread error concerning the Lord. The hungry they leave empty, and from the thirsty they withhold water. Words from our Lord.
Good morning, church. Well, often we hear people comment or criticize, you know, how come the CEO of a lot of companies make so much money? Some make millions. We probably hear this quite often, but they're not working. They're not doing anything. They're not working as hard. I'm the one who scrubbed the floor, sell donuts, and all these CEOs make so much money not doing anything. But we do have to realize that the rise and fall of a company is all rely very often on the leader. Leaders are most important, and we don't have to look really far. Just look at what happened this year. Just because our neighbor changed their leader, not only Canada, the whole world is basically changed. Overnight, we are being affected. Even our election, last election in Canada, is being affected. What happened to the leaders of our neighbor? So what kind of leaders do we hope for, looking for? I'm sure we have different kind of expectation of a leader of a government, of a country. So I look it up, there was a poll done recently. Did I put it up here? Oh, it's not here, okay. Anyway. So there was a poll that was done recently. They surveyed 70,000 people over 50 countries, and asked the 52 countries, and asked people what kind of qualities would they look for in a leader of a country, and they come up with four characters that they would look for in a leader. And 56%, the number one, is that the leader will provide them hope. That is the greatest expectation. And then the second, 33%, is trust, a leader that they can trust. And third, only 7%, I'm surprised, is a leader that is of compassion. I would give this more marks in this area. And then only the last one, 4%, stability, that will bring stability to the country. Overwhelmingly, 56% of people would want the leader to bring them hope. It's nothing worse than there's no hope. if there's, you may not be able to buy a house or an apartment now, but if there's hope that one day, maybe a few years, 10 years from now, you can afford to buy one. You may not have a job now, you're looking for a job, but if there's a hope that there'll be more jobs, that you can find a job. So hope is something that we all look for. The situation may be challenging now, but as long as there's hope, our economy may be not the greatest at this moment, but as long as there's hope that our economy will become better. I was reading an article whether the Canadian dollars will become 50 cents of US. So that's not much hope. But the article said that it's not likely. So there is hope there. So we are looking for a leader that can bring us hope. So today, the Isaiah 52, chapter 52, is a very rich, very full chapter. Isaiah is speaking to his people and giving them hope that a leader, future leader will come, that will bring them hope. What kind of hope? And I give away the punchline of this sermon already, which is the last three verses, 18 to 20. This is the hope that Isaiah trying to give to his people. Then in that day, then my people will live in a peaceful habitation. Isn't that what we are praying for? Every week, the church, every Wednesday, the Cantonese congregation pray together. And almost every week we pray for peace. And Isaiah saying that in that day, the people will live in a peaceful place and in a secure dwelling. We don't have to worry about all these drones, bombs, missiles flying over our head in undisturbed resting places. Wow, that is hope. And it will hail punishment when the forest comes down and the city will be utterly laid down. Evil people, evil leaders, evil countries will be punished. We want that punishment, right? Nothing we can do here today, but God will punish. We want those evildoers to be punished. How blessed will you be, you who sow besides all waters, who let out freely the ox and the donkey, so peaceful, lying beside the still water. This is the place that Isaiah is promising to his people. In a time of trouble, not only externally, the Assyrians going to invade, but also internally, the corruption of their leaders, their country. Isaiah here is bringing them hope. During Isaiah's time, they already have a lot of kings who did evil in the eyes of the Lord. Jeroboam, first, 931 to 910 BC, is a king that considered to be an evil king. Baasha, 909 BC to 886. Omri, Ahab, Ahaziah, Jeroboam, all these kings who led the people to worship idols, do evil things in the eyes of the Lord. And Isaiah here is saying that there is hope. There's hope. Same as today, we're looking for a leader who can bring our country hope. So Isaiah is saying that there is hope. So who will bring this hope? There will be a leader. There will be a leader coming. Verse 1, behold, a king. There will be a king. They're looking for a king, a leader. Will reign righteously and prince will rule justly. Someone, a leader who will rule righteously and rule justly. There's two different words, righteousness, justice, a king who will rule with justice. And then the next word is justly, fair. It is a term used in the court in deciding cases, in a seat of judgment. So someone who will bring us to walk right and also to lead justly. Isn't this also someone we looking for today? Not just for monetary, not just to bring up our economy, but also someone who can bring us justice, to rule us in the right way. And Isaiah, the prophet, continued to say that this new leader, so the people are listening, we want a king who will reign righteously and also rule justly. But this king, this leader, will also provide us a refuge from the wind and a shelter from the storm, like streams of water in a dry country, like the shape of a huge rock in a parched land. Not only that, this king is a righteous king, but also it is personal. It gives us protection, gives us shelter from the storm, gives us, it will bring us streams of water in a dry country. So Isaiah slowly shifting. This is not only a king that leads us righteously, but also this is a king can provide us protection, a shelter. This is more than just a physical protection. It's also spiritual protection. All of us, I'm sure we have times, some of us may be always peaceful, joyful, but I'm sure a lot of us, we have times that we have challenge, trouble. And I do have times of challenge, trouble myself, even though I'm a pastor, I'm supposed to encourage people. But I do go through very often, actually, moments, times that I need a shelter. Sometimes the problems that I face, sometimes I feel is overwhelming. That I would need a leader, a king, that can be my refuge, that can be my shelter. So Jesus said, come to me. Matthew chapter 11, 28. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So this king, this leader who's coming, is not only a great, strong leader of the country, but someone who can give you peace, shelter, and abundant life. If anyone is thirsty, John 7:37, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. So this king, future king, when Isaiah was speaking, not only will give us protection, it will bring us an abundant life. It will give us the flowing of spring water from within our heart. So that's someone that we are looking for even today. Not only the people in Isaiah's time, but also today, I think we are all looking for a king, a leader who can give us shelter. He can give us an abundant life, peace in our heart. And the eyes of those, and then Isaiah move on. Okay, I have to be careful, okay. Then the eyes of those who see will not be blinded, and the ears of those who hear will listen. The mind of the hasty will discern the truth, and the tongue of the stammers will hasten to speak clearly. Here the prophet's not only saying that it's about physical healing. Of course, though I'm trying to analyze this passage, and then it has both meanings. It's a physical healing. So when Jesus came, the blind, he healed many people. The blind can see. So here is also talking about physical healing. So it's quite okay for us to come to the Lord because our Lord is a divine healer. Divine healing is actually part of the Alliance teaching, one of our four teachings. our basis of our belief, our emphasis, our core value, divine healing. So not only that, this future king will bring healing to people physically, but also spiritually, that our eyes can see the truth and the ears can hear God's word clearly. So the prophet is moving from leadership to personal protection to spiritual truth. This new king, when Isaiah was speaking to his people, this future king, coming king, this leader, will also bring us truth, that we know what is truth. Today we are overwhelmed with the media. So be careful what you read and what you see on the media. And today we talk about political correctness. And very often the truth, especially God's truth, is not being portrayed in the media. Late last night, someone sent me an article, and it was really late last night. It's like midnight. Someone sent me an article from Vancouver Sun, and today I don't know if some of us are actually running in the today is the marathon, right? Telefox marathon. But today, last night, Vancouver Sun, there's an article written by this journalist Graham Todd, and 44 years ago he interviewed Terry Fox in the hospital a week or so before he died. So 44 years later, he wrote an article in Vancouver Sun, and then he wrote some of the interview he had. He said that, and no one else was there, just between him and Terry Fox. So that is it. I admit to some regret, but what I do remember is, because he did not took the notes, that's why I said some regret. But what I do remember is Terry talking about discovering his Christian faith a few years earlier, that it inspired his run, his marathon run, which raised $900 million today through the Telefox marathon run for cancer a cure. Then he wished he knew more about the New Testament. That Terry was frustrated the media had not picked up more of his comments about the faith. So he shared his faith, but the media did not report his faith. So no one really knows that he is actually he was a Christian, and his run was inspired by his faith. And that he was grateful to so many, including followers, friends, and family. Terry had a born-again religious experience about half a year before his marathon of hope, and that he really wanted to live, but he knew that whatever happened, it would be God's will. The article includes earlier quotes from Terry, in which he expressed the frustration, more journalists had not taken the trouble, the risk to report on his faith convictions. It's only after 44 years that, at least myself, to know that he was inspired by his Christian faith to start this run. Right now, people do not like to hear the truth because it is politically incorrect sometimes. But when this future king comes, he will get things right again. Jesus, in Matthew 13, 16, "But blessed are your eyes because they see." Now people can see when Jesus came, "and your ears because they hear." So Jesus will bring the truth to his people. And then he moved on. The prophet moved on. "For a fool speaks nonsense and his heart inclines towards wickedness, to practice ungodliness and to speak error against the Lord, to keep the hungry person unsatisfied and to withhold drink from the thirsty. And then the prophet moved on to say that when this king, future king, comes, he will bring, get the right and the wrong in the right place. And then he talked about three kinds of people here in verse 6 to 8. First is the fool, foolish people. Foolish people are not stupid people, people who cannot think intelligently here. The fool has said, Psalms 14:11, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have committed abominable deeds. There's no one who does good. So the foolish people here, the prophet is referring to people who do not trust, believe in God. And then he moved on to comment about the second kind of people. Seems to be a time delay here. Okay. As for a road, his weapons are evil. So prophet talking about the second kind of people here. These people are the cheaters, scammers, people who are not honest, people who trick other people, wicked people. He delivers wicked schemes to destroy the afflicted with slander. So the Isaiah, the prophet, talked about on one side, these fools, rogues, wicked people, scammers. And then on the other side, cheaters. On the other side are the noble people. But the noble man devises noble plans. And by noble plans, he stands. So the prophet talked about two kinds of people. Right? On one side, people who are cheaters. People who do not believe, trust in God. And on the other hand, the noble people. People who do honorable things, generous people. And the prophet said that when this king, we all know today that he's referring to the king, the Jesus, the king, the coming king. When Jesus came, he will get things right again. Verse 8. Verse 5, no longer will the fool be called noble or the rogue be spoken of as generous. Nowadays, we are mixing. We call it a gray area. Sometimes we don't know what is right, what is wrong. Sometimes what we wrong, we portray it as the norm, the new things. What we one time considered to be sin, we say the time has changed. Everything has to be done in love. Sin is no longer a sin. We have to accept it because of love. Sometimes we even use the Bible to justify our stand, our wrong belief. But when this new King Jesus came, he will get things right again. No longer will the wrong be called right, or the right be called wrong. That's exactly what's happening today, isn't it? We are even scared. We have to be very careful. Sometimes even to proclaim our truth. Because some of the truth that we're trying to proclaim may not be politically correct today. But when this new king, the king, Jesus comes, all this will be set straight right again. But unfortunately, but Jesus already came, isn't it? But how come we still don't see justice, full justice, as what Isaiah has promised to his people, to us today, the reader, follower of the reader of the scripture, follower of Jesus? But how come it's not happening yet? Isaiah continued to say, to prophesy, "Rise up, you women." Now we're moving on to the second section of Isaiah 32. "Rise up, you women who are at ease, and hear my voice. Give ear to my word, you complacent daughters." Now, to be fair, Isaiah is not only talking about the sisters here, the women here. Women in those days considered to be the lowest group in the ladder in the society. But he was saying that even the lowest, the most common people, they are complacent. So never mind the ones, the leaders, the religious leaders, political leaders on the top, the educated, but even the normal people, the people in the lowest step of the ladders in the society, the common, the women, even the women who are at ease, who are complacent. Complacency is a danger. So prophet is saying that even when the king, the Jesus, come, people would ignore him. So he's prophesying the coming. Just like today, Jesus came 2,000 years ago. Jesus' arrival, Jesus, the birth of Jesus and the death of Jesus already fulfilled. Isaiah chapter 32, verse 1 and 2, that this king came, but people today, just like this group of women here, we are complacent. He is not being accepted. But the punishment will come. Within a year and a few days, you will be troubled. Oh, complacent daughters, for the vintage is ended and the fruit gathering will not come. Revelation 3:17, talking about Laodicea church. "Because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing." So what Isaiah is talking about, those quote-unquote women in his time, is also applying to us, the church today, that we are rich, we have become wealthy, we have not need of nothing. And then continue, Revelation 3:17, "And you do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." So actually, churches is us. We are the church. So when we think that, when we think that we are complacent, we are actually poor. We are blind and naked. So is there hope? The prophet is saying that when this king arrives, there will be this utopia. Verse, the last three verses that I read in the beginning of my message. But then people reject him. So is there hope? So how can people get out of this situation? And then let's move on, Isaiah 30, to the third section. There is hope. The Spirit will come. The Holy Spirit will come. And it is beyond people's imagination at that time that Isaiah the prophet is talking about the Holy Spirit. People could not understand. I'm sure they could not understand what Isaiah was talking about until the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is poured out upon us from on high. And the wilderness becomes a fertile field, and the fertile field is considered as a forest. And one day, the Holy Spirit will come. And this was like 800 years before the birth of Christ. The prophet Isaiah here is prophesying the coming of the Holy Spirit. People cannot do good. So that's what Isaiah is saying. Even though this king come, one day it will come. But like these women, they will be complacent. They will ignore Jesus. That's exactly what happened. When Jesus came, he was not well received. He was not accepted. He was nailed on the cross. But there is hope. The Holy Spirit will come, will bring renewal. And this Holy Spirit renewal will bring justice. Then justice will dwell. The Holy Spirit will bring along justice. The justice will dwell in the wilderness. That's my topic this morning. And righteousness will abide in the fertile field. And justice, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the arrival of the Holy Spirit changed it from hopelessness to hope. And the work of righteousness will be peace. And the surface of righteousness will be quietness and confidence forever. So at the beginning of my sermon, I shared this future peace inhabitants, peace land. And Isaiah is saying that the Holy Spirit will bring us this peace. How? The Holy Spirit came on Pentecost 2,000 years ago, but how? How is the Holy Spirit going to bring peace? Through us. Holy Spirit came. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit only came intermittently for a short period of time, and then he'll leave. The Holy Spirit will come to a leader, a God's chosen leader, and empower that leader. But then after that, the Holy Spirit will leave. But today, we know, after the Pentecost, the Holy Spirit will come and stay in the hearts of all the believers. So how is the Holy Spirit going to bring righteousness through us? We are empowered by the Spirit. So when people, when the followers are filled with the Holy Spirit, we will be able to bring peace, righteousness, rightness, quietness, confidence, stability to the world. And we are today, as I speak, we have fulfilled Isaiah chapter 32, 1 to 17. Wow! We, all of us sitting here today, right at this moment, 10:26, September 14, 2005, as we are reading, meditating, listening to the teaching of Isaiah, we have fulfilled this prophecy. Christ came. The people rejected him. The Holy Spirit came, and the Holy Spirit dwell within us so that we can bring justice to the world. And God's prophecy is fulfilled here today through us, through all the believers, all the Christians in the world. But how come Isaiah 32, 18 to 20, the three verses I read at the beginning of my sermon, is not fully realized yet? How come we still have war? We still don't have full peace. We still don't have complete stability. What went wrong? Didn't the Bible say that when the King come, Jesus come, all this will be realized? Has the kingdom of God arrived yet? Yes. The scripture very clearly say that the kingdom of God has arrived. Luke 17, I just quote three verses here. Luke 17, 21. There it is. For behold, the kingdom of God is in your midst. The kingdom, this new kingdom, has arrived right here at VCAC, right here among all the Christians in the world. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. The kingdom has arrived. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. The kingdom has already arrived. So how come we still have not realized verse 18 to 20, this complete peace utopia that we have been promised. But the kingdom has yet to fully realize. Luke 22:18, for I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes. What do you mean? Until the kingdom of the God comes. You mean the kingdom is not totally here yet? Pray then in this way. So that's why we have to pray. It is quite legitimate for us to pray for the kingdom, pray for peace. Sometimes people say, why do we come to prayer meeting? Because Jesus asked us to pray. To pray that your kingdom come. Because God's kingdom has not fully come yet. You will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Revelation 11:15. And one day that's not here yet. Then the seven angels sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. Amen. But the kingdom is not here yet. So is it here or is it not here? So a theologian, New Testament theologian, coined it, wrote a book on this theology. So the kingdom is already and not yet. The kingdom is here, already here, but it's not already fulfilled, fully realized yet. So it's already and not yet. When Jesus died on the cross, the Holy Spirit came, the kingdom has come, but not fully realized yet. So we are in this transition. We are in the middle here. So today, we are walking in between these two ends here, already and not yet. And today, we are the ones, through the Holy Spirit that dwell in us, to carry out this justice, to do things rightly on behalf of Jesus. Today, the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 32, verse 1 and 2 is fulfilled in us. We are the representation, the representative of Isaiah, of this king. So we have to live out the righteousness. We have to do our best to be a righteous person. So when we buy things, at least I do, I don't know, I always look at where it came from. Even though it's only $5. I mean, I'm not going to have an impact on the economy of the world. I'm sure it's $5. But I do try to look at, this has come from a place, a country, where these people are being righteously treated. I know that I have absolutely no impact on these countries. But we have to do things small and big and do our best to be a righteous person. Because today, this prophecy is fulfilled in us, me and you. We are the one who have fulfilled that Isaiah chapter 32. We have to bring justice, righteousness, peace, shelter, not for us, for other people, protection for other people. We are the fulfillment of this prophecy until the kingdom is fully realize. We are the kingdom. We are member of the kingdom. This last Friday, I joined the Alliance, what was called the Alliance Women before. Now it's called the Mission Care Group. As well, I listened to Hugh Chan, our deacon of Mission Department. He went on this mission trip to Cambodia to join a church organization to help out these abused women, child trafficking. To support, help all these young people, most of them are females, to exercise God's righteousness. And that's what we are supposed to do. So while they're looking for this King Jesus to come, to bring justice, righteousness, we today, while we are between the already and the not yet, we are the fulfillment of this prophecy. That's why we are called Christians. So the end, I want to share this song, the lyric of this song, this kingdom. Jesus, God's, this is an old song, at least 15 years old. Jesus, God's righteousness revealed, the Son of Man, the Son of God. His kingdom comes, it's already here. Jesus' redemption's sacrifice now glorifies, now justifies. His kingdom comes, and his kingdom will know no end, and his glory shall know no bound. For the majesty and power of his kingdom's king has come. And this kingdom's reign, and this kingdom's rule, and this kingdom's power and authority, Jesus' righteousness revealed through us today. Let's pray. Father, remind us we are the fulfillment of this prophecy. Your kingdom today is realized on earth as it is in heaven through all your believers, followers, and that is us. So help us to walk righteously. Let us exercise, carry out your righteousness in this world, in small things and big things. Let us not look down upon ourselves. Our impact on the world may be small, but when we all add up, we can make a change and help all of us to fulfill this fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.